So we've been talking about the culture of God, the kingdom of God. So today I thought I'd be different a little bit. I wanted to talk about fate. Every once in a while, it's like if you're a nurse and you go there and they give you a needle, right? You need a little bit of an injection of fate. When my boys were small, I forget which one it was now, we had got a doctor kit for kids to play with. And in it, there was a needle, you know, plastic thing, you know. And you fill it up with water and you just squirt it like this. Now, I don't know which one it was, but one was really scary. Was it? Oh, it was Josiah. As soon as you took out that needle, he ran. I mean, it was just a toy. He just ran. He was scared of getting that needle, which was a toy. You know, that's all their mind. That was Josiah, by the way. Is he still like that?
Yeah.
Okay. I knew it was somebody in the family. Anyway, so we need this. You need that little booster to go a little further, to stand and believe God a little bit more. Okay, how many would agree with me? It's like your faith will go down if you don't feed it, if you don't exercise it. It's like anything else, it will slow down. So, so faith we can't be born without faith. How many knows that? In order to be born spiritually, what do you need? You gotta believe, right? How about when you live? You need it because so many things that happen in your life and you need faith in God. Your faith has to increase every time. And you know, if we were born by faith, if we live by faith, how many knows that when we die in faith. Not turning around from God and say, God, I'm coming home. God, this is my call. This is my day. I'm dying. And you gotta have it. Okay, so my text today, we're going to be reading it. It's Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Verse 14. We'll start at verse 14. How do we have that? Mark 9, verse 14. Now, I need somebody that reads good to come and read that. Somebody that reads better than I read. Yes, dear, you're a good reader. Can you stand? We'll read the word. Let's stand. Okay.
You sure that's? And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Next verse. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Jesus said to him, Okay. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting.
Thank you very much. You can be seated. So we see this morning that somebody came to Jesus. And first he came to the disciple. What happened? Jesus was on the mountain, on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he came down. And as he came down, there was a crowd there. There was his disciple. There was a scribe and the Pharisee were there arguing with them. And there was a crowd of people. So let's read starting in verse 14. And when he came to the disciple, he saw a great multitude around them, scribe disputing with them. And I want you to listen. Look at the word disputing. He came and the Pharisee or the scribe were arguing with the disciple. And Jesus came and he saw that. And he didn't jump on the disciple. He jumped on the scribe. In other words, what are you saying? What are you doing? You know, to my boys, my follower, right? And this is what he said, because he cared and he loved them. Immediately then they saw him. All the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeting him. So, you know, Jesus is in town. He's coming down the mountain. They were all happy. And they came to him. And he asked the scribe, what are you discussing with them? Oh, I read that verse. And one in the crowd answered to him, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Okay, so he says, it's funny that Jesus said, what is happening? Nobody else had time to answer except the one who had a need. He came ready to talk to Jesus. Now the scribe did not have a chance to say, well, or the disciple, well, Lord, this... The man answer first. And he says, Lord, I came here because of my son. How many knows that? The man did not need a miracle, but his son. But it affected him. Do you know that if you're sick, and if you're sad, and if you're having problem, it will affect somebody that's close to you. That's why God wants us to rejoice, to take a hold of our life and stand on the word. And somebody will come and stand with us. Otherwise, this man says, have mercy on us. Okay, next verse. And he said, and whatever it seizes him, it throw him down. He foams at the mouth, and he gashes his teeth, and he become rigid. So I spoke to your disciple that they should cast it out, but they couldn't. Now, we don't know if he sort of religious people or whatever. But what they know, this man knew that his son was controlled by some evil spirit. And you know what? How many people believe that it could happen again today? I mean, we're all believers. And you know, we can close your eyes and say there's not such a thing as evil spirit. But there is. And this is one of the things that really challenged me when I first come to Christ. See, I came to Christ by faith. And I said, Lord, come into my life. Because I saw it's in the Word. I saw that you need salvation. But when I saw my brother-in-law, which has delivered from an evil spirit, then I believed. Then I said, well, if the devil exists, surely God is bigger. And you don't know him because he had problem with his mind. Every 3-4 months, they put him in the hospital and they give him shock treatment. They put buzzer on his head and they put voltage on there and just shake it. You know what I mean? Trying to keep his mind working properly. I knew that. I mean, I married, he's my brother-in-law. And for years and years, you know, in and out. And his family, affected his family. How many know that it affects somebody else? His children. Then he got saved one day. God just came in the house and delivered them. Squealed like a pig. And then, never again had he got a shock treatment. Never again did he have problem with his mind. Matter of fact, God gifted him after that. And, you know, he could see things in the spirit, which I don't, not most of the time, but he does. So that was a very strong thing in my life when I seen God do that. When I saw God having power over the works of the enemy, it changes you. It affects you too. There's something in your life, you're here, maybe something a kid said, a preacher said, something you read in a book, and it challenged you to follow God. Well, that challenged me at that time. Not that I didn't believe in it, but I saw it, and it was very strong. Okay, let's see. But they couldn't. Now, come back again. But they couldn't, okay? Now, the disciples were having a bad day. How many would understand that? Jesus had given them power and authority. And I didn't study if it was after this that happened, because I didn't look at in which part. Maybe before. But this time they couldn't, because obviously it was a big thing. Nobody else could do it. Nobody else could free this boy. But someone was there. And his name is? Jesus. So, if you look in the book of Acts after that, the disciple went after, and you know, they said there was miracle. There was signs and wonder. There was special miracle. There was things that were happening through the hand of God, through the disciple. And they were casting out spirit and blah, 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 blah. Whatever. They could do it. So that day, they weren't so good. They didn't do it because we're going to fail. I want you to understand, I'm not preaching on evil spirit at all today. I just want to give you an example, okay? What this boy was suffering for was what? Epilepsy. Now, this boy here was an epilepsy. Or epileptic, whatever you call it. When he came into this church upstairs over there, nobody had to lay hands on him. Nobody did anything. But what happened? The Lord took it. Now, how many seizures did you have, Bill, a day? So what do you do when you have a seizure? You fall on the floor? And how long did that last, that stuff? So since, it's funny, eh? Since you're 3 years old, and you know, till maybe he's 40, I don't know how old exactly, something like that, 10 to 18 times a day, and it's epilepsy. That's really what the boy was suffering from. Now, epilepsy is not always an evil spirit. Sometimes it's just a condition of the mind or something. And you know, it's not everybody that's sick that's got an evil spirit. Stay away from that. You know, sometimes your body is not responding and whatever is happening. But in this case, it was an evil spirit. And what happened to Bill when he came? He stood there at the back. Amazingly, we were having communion that day, remember? We're having communion today too. So how many knows that what God did, God healed him? Because the week after, I was working, putting a light which was flashing. And you know, if somebody is epileptic, you don't want them to be near a flashing light because it would affect them. And he was okay. Have you had any more since? Okay. So you just get in the presence of God, and this is what happened. This guy got in the presence of Jesus. This is what happened. So is it good to get in the presence of God? Yeah. All right. Okay, so they couldn't do it. I want to tell you a story that happened to me, and I didn't know if I should share it with you or not. You think I should share it with you? Okay. A couple of years ago, I was called to pray for somebody. So they called me, and I said, okay, I'll go over with my wife. So we went over. And when we went over, you know, we're just going to pray for people. How many likes to pray for people? Yes. So we go over, and we sat there. Well, she takes her in. She said, my son is coming out. He's coming out of this room. Now, the son is 16 years old. So he comes out of the room. He looks at us, and he sat. And then he stood up, and he raged against his mother, threw her down. Now, this is a prayer meeting. Don't try that at home. So we looked. I'm kind of, okay, what do you do next? You know what I mean? You got to be prepared. So what do we do next? Okay. Me and the father is there. The father, I look at him, and we rage and grab this man. It's his son. He's 16 years old. So we go to grab him, and I go to grab him to stop him. And he takes me and he pulls me in the air, about that far from the ground. His father gets there to grab him, and he takes him and he pulls him that high from the ground. And there we are, standing between earth and heaven. And you know, okay, you kind of react, this is happening. Okay, the name of Jesus. Now I'm looking at the name of Jesus. Okay, I got to use the name of Jesus. Using the name of Jesus doesn't do very much. I turn around, look at my wife. She's like that. She can't believe it. And then we begin to fight. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, he's holding you. And a 16-year-old boy lifting his father was at least 300 pounds. I'm 200 pounds. That's 500 pounds. That's not normal. This is not normal. And, you know, normal prayer won't do it. God just bless him. Normal prayer won't do it. I knew that. I call on the name of Jesus. I remain in the air. I call on God. I mean, you know, I mean, until somehow I got to trip him somehow and put my foot there. And he fell, and we fell on top of him. And I said to his dad, hold his hand. One hand, just, and I was holding the other one. I mean, I was just fighting for my life. So I was holding one of his arm as hard as I could, and it's like I was pulling something. And I said to him, don't let go until we figure out something. First thing happened, he let go. And all I felt is a punch right in the mouth. And my head just went back like this. But it did something. It triggered something. Oh, boy, you shouldn't have done that. I got a holy anger or something in me. And I jumped on him. And, I grabbed him by the throat. And I was going to punch him, too. Yes. Let's have a Bible. If we're going to have a Bible study, let's have it, right? Yes. So anyway, I jumped on him, and we both jumped on him, and it was a fight. I mean, I never seen such a prayer meeting in my life. For 45 minutes, we wrestled in my eyes. But by then, I got this something inside of me. You should not punch me because something rose up with me. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, come out of him. And I kept saying that, and I kept saying that, and I kept saying that until it took about 45 minutes, finally. He just went into, I understand, when he said like he was dead, he was released. And there was freedom, you know. And then it's kind of like he looked at us like, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? There was a breakthrough because of the name of Jesus. And I'm saying just that because here it says the disciple could not do it. And I can understand that. The situation in ministry, you know, that sometimes you feel you can't do it. You know, you're not enough, you don't have enough anointing. Maybe you didn't pray enough. Maybe you didn't seek God enough. Maybe you don't feel like it. Maybe you're tired or whatever. And they couldn't do it. Now, this boy came back to church here a couple of weeks after. You don't know him. Well, you may know him, but anyway. And a couple of times, I haven't followed after him. I don't know where he is now, what he's doing. But if he kept the house clean, there was no problem in his life now. But if he doesn't put the word in his mind and his heart, the same thing is going to try to come back in his life. That's why we need the fresh bread of heaven every day. We stay like that. Now, does everybody have an evil spirit? No, no. You know, I know some of you wants to heat the whole cake. Does that mean you have an evil spirit? No. That's just your flesh. So your flesh is fighting against you. You know, or maybe in a sexual area, or maybe in a different area, you know, you're getting tempted. Is that an evil spirit? No, that's natural. Your body, your spirit is fighting against your body. Your body wants to lead, and your spirit wants to lead. So let's give your spirit the victory. Amen. Next verse. Now I remember when I left that house. Next verse, Josiah. Okay, keep him awake. Okay. All right. I saw his head. That's because of the camping last night, right? And I remember leaving that prayer, that place, and I said to my wife, I said, I don't want to pray for people anymore. You call me at home and I'll pray for you. True. Because, you know, because I can't. Okay, let's get. And answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Next verse. And when they brought him to him, and when you saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Okay, next. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? I want you to see something here. Sometime you'll come for prayer, and somebody will be here praying for you. And you know, you start praying in tongues and close your eyes. Jesus asked him, he said, how long has that been happening to you? You know what I mean? Maybe people will ask you a question. Where are you sore? You know, what's happening in your life? And that's normal. You know, Jesus care. How long? How long since he carried his boy and he want to protect him from falling in the water, protect him from the fire? His life was a nightmare. So this is what he said to him, from childhood, meaning he could have been 12, 10, I don't know, but that's a long time to keep an eye on your son so he doesn't do something stupid like that. He couldn't help. Next verse. And often he has thrown him both in the fire and into the water to destroy him, but Then he says this, and this is what I want you to see today. But, he says, if there's two, there's a but here, and there's a if there, you can. But if you can. Now you know who he's talking to, eh? Talking to Jesus, the Son of the living God. He says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us, me and the Son. Have compassion. I mean, that's the story of Jesus. He walked with compassion. He didn't know from, if you were to turn, I've turned the page, one page back, and he's healing the woman with an issue of blood. The next page, he's healing another blind person. So, every day with Jesus, he didn't know what was coming his way. Same way, friend, we don't know what comes our way. Every day is a different day. That's why we have to be strong in our faith, because somebody will come to us with a problem. And we can't just tell him what we think. We got to tell him what comes from the throne of God. We got to be able to hear from God and say just maybe two words, and that lifts them up. Now he comes to Jesus and he says, if you can. And that's one of the areas that we're going to stop at, and I just want to share a little bit. I don't have much time, so because we're going to have communion, and we're going to base ourselves on the Word of God. So he said, I'll read it over here. And Jesus says, if I can believe, all things are possible. So I'm going to use this. Another translation here. And I want you to look at it different. Not that it's not the Word of God. It's just look at it different. So maybe you can understand. Okay? And he says, if you can. And the King James says, if you can believe. But if you look at the Bible, the word believe is not there. And this is what the guy said here. He said, I want you to look at it different. And he says, but if you can do anything, take pity and help us. And Jesus says, if you can? Question mark. He's talking to Jesus, if you can do anything, if you can do. So the New American Standard Bible has a question mark, and there's a pause there. And it says, if you can, like he's talking to Jesus, if you can heal him, and he's looking back at him, if you can, meaning, do you believe that I can? And he says, and he said after that, he said, all things are possible to him who believes. See, there's no problem with God, okay? Number one. God can do it. Luke 1:37 says, God, with God, nothing is impossible. So if nothing is impossible, everything is possible. Isn't that true? If nothing is impossible, everything is possible. Can God do it? Can God, you know, sometimes we get to places where we say, well, God, I don't know if God can do it. And sometimes you pray for people and they will say, I don't know if God can do that. He can do it. There's no problem. He can do more abundant but what we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. He can do amazing things. God is not short of miracle. He's not short of healing. He's not short of restoration. He's got everything. All right? Hebrews 13:8, what does it say? It is the same Spirit. No, that's not the one. Hebrews 13:8 says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, one thing, can God do it?
Yes.
No, I didn't hear you. Can God do it?
Yes.
Can God take care of your problem?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
He can do it. So we just want to establish that before. God can do it. The next one is, because this all brings it to this, will you do it? Well, that's a big problem, because sometimes we know we can do it. I know God can take care of my need. He can heal me. He can restore me. He can do that. But the question is, will you do it? And you know what? It's a good question. Because a lot of time, you know, we have a negative thing in our life. We look at ourselves, and maybe we haven't hit the mark, or we weren't the son or the daughter that he wants us to be. And we base ourselves on our works and say, well, why would God do? Because, you know, I missed the mark so many times. I messed up here, and I did that. And yes, I love God and everything. Will he do it? And then it becomes unbelief. Remember what he says. He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. In other words, how I see it, Lord, I believe, but help me to believe even more. You know, we go from faith to faith. We go from belief to belief. Help me, Lord, to believe more. So will he do that? Yes, he will. Remember the verse I taught you, Psalm 139, verse 14, and I mentioned about 3-4 Sundays in a row, which says, Psalm 139, verse 14, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. This is you. God says you're wonderfully made. He built this nice machine that works. It'll last for 80 years, 90 years. How many have a car? Do you change the oil? Do you take care of your beautiful machine? Yeah. How many have clothes? Do you wash your clothes? Why do you wash your clothes? So it's nice and clean. How many have kids? You dress them. And you teach them so they're not sloppy and all that stuff. Because they're fearfully and wonderfully, you love them. God loves you. He wants to take care of this machine that you have. You. He created a beautiful thing, so then he's going to take it and put it in the desert to rust. Well, even the children of Israel in the desert were taken care of. They were fed every day. Their clothes didn't wear out. He took care of them because they were beautiful to him. So, will God do it?
Yes.
Can I hear you?
Yes.
Can he do it?
Yes.
Will he do it?
Yes.
Okay, you're good. The third point, and then we're going to stop. The third point is, what do you think it is? Can he do it?
Yes.
Will he do it?
Yes.
Well, this is the third point. I want to see if you are listening. You look at my note, did you? When will he do it? When will he do it? And you know, we have to be careful, because this can throw us really way off. You can believe that God, you know he's going to heal you, but when? You can put that and say, well, when God feels like it, when it's his time, he will heal me. And what we're doing, we're really putting to tomorrow what God can do today. He might do it tomorrow, but we have to believe that he's going to do it today. Because today is the accepted time. So you come over here, and I tell you, God will save you. Right? That's his will. Okay, he will save you. That's his will. But he can't do it now. Maybe tomorrow. That you would say, well, Pastor, this man wants to receive Christ. Well, I would say, well, tomorrow. What about tomorrow? The next day. You know, salvation is for today. Healing is for today. Restoration is for today. God has a good gift for you. He'll give it to you in 10 years. No, today. Today is the acceptable time for salvation, to receive everything that what God. This is our mindset. It can happen tomorrow, but we got to believe that it's for today. And if it happens tomorrow, glory to God. How many prayed a prayer and believed God, walked away? There might have been no answer, no feeling, but then during the night something happened. Something happened. I was listening to this guy at the airport church, and I just want to close there soon. And he said, he began to pray for the sick, and he taught at Bible school. And he said, he has about 400 students teaching healing. And then the last night that he had, I said, I'm going to pray for you. And God gave him a word to pray for all the broken, I forget how he said it, whatever. Disabled. And there was 39 that came forward. The first one, the guy had his foot backward. And he lays his hand on him. And, you know, his foot turned like this. And he went down the line, and he prayed for each one of them. And the last one was a young girl. She was about 18. And a half of her face was all disfigured. It's like molasses. It's just like, it looks like awful. And when he put his hand on her face, he says his hand went in her face. That was how bad it was. Just think about that. 18 years old. Half of your face looks like even a citrouille. How do you say citrouille? Pumpkin. Even a pumpkin would look nicer with a smile and all that stuff. Anyway, but then he felt the hand of Jesus going right through his hand. When he put his hand like that, he saw the hand of Jesus going through his hand, and then his hand touched her, went into her face, and he prayed for her, and he felt the power of God come so strong, but nothing happened. Turned around, and then within how long? I think the next day it was completely perfect. Completely perfect. He said that's the worst thing that happened at the camp. He said all the boys wanted to go out with that girl after. Right. So can God do it? Will he do it? When will he do it? See, the minute we pray and we ask God and receive it, something happened in the spirit. It's not a big, hard formula. This man come to Jesus. Did he have a problem? He did. Jesus tested his faith, and he said, you know, he tested his faith, and he saw that there was a flaw there, and he encouraged him. And he just commanded that thing to go. And what happened? There was deliverance on the way. See, as believer, that's the way we have to start thinking. We got to think like he thinks. Acts like he acts. And we got to receive the way God says to receive. Can God do it?
Yes.
Will he do it?
Yes.
When will he do it?
Now.
Hebrew 1, 11 verse 1 says, now. Now, faith is. Faith is now. And this is awesome. So do you have faith?
Yes.
Do you have faith?
Yes.
Is your faith increasing day by day?
Yes.
Awesome, because we need it. There's going to be stuff that's going to happen. Maybe somebody will call you for prayer. Oh my God, I should have prayed before I went there. All right, let's stand. I want to read something. I'm going to ask the usher to bring the element. And I want to read a little psalm to you here. So I want you guys, can you pass the element? I'm going to ask my wife to come over here. Okay, when you receive, just listen to what I'm saying here. Psalm 53 says, who has believed our report? And verse 3 says, he is despised and rejected by man. That's Jesus. A man of sorrow, which is anguish and affliction. An acquaintance with grief. Grief means sickness, anxiety, and disease. And we hid him, as it were, our face from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our grief and carry our sorrow, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripe we were healed. We are healed. Okay? By his stripe we were healed. No, we are healed. By his stripe we were healed. No, we are healed. Okay? All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all. It was all laid on him, the stripe, the beating, the nail. I mean, everything that happened to him is for you. Today, in this room, you can stand complete in him, worthy. And you can say, yes, Lord, I received that. That's just the beginning of the things that he wants to do for you. He wants to do more. He wants to take you at a higher place. He wants to take me at a higher place. So everything that we're going to do today is, thank you. Remember that it was all done for our healing, our restoration, our prayer. It's all done. All we have to do is believe. Can we believe? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Everybody has some? Now, when we took communion, that I don't remember the date, years ago, Bill didn't know about, he didn't know nothing about the covenant. He had a covenant with another God. He came here and something happened to him. As he believed, his whole world was changed. As you believe today that he is who he says who he is, that he has done what he says he has done, then we can be partaker of his nature. How many likes that? Partaker of his nature. You want to pray in for the body?
Father, I just thank you this morning that we are your body. And Father, that you sent Jesus and his body was broken so that our body could be healed. And so, Father, we just receive that today. We receive whatever illness, whatever mental thing, whatever anything that is against heaven. We just believe, God, today that you are restoring, that you are healing, and that you are setting us free. We believe today, we release our faith that you are doing it right now, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Let's all eat. I'm going to ask Camilla to pray for the
Father, I thank you that you are an awesome God. I thank you for your blood, and I thank you that we can participate in your blood, from your blood, your cleansing blood and your healing blood. And I thank you, Lord God, that you give us revelation of what you have done for us. Thank you for the word that was delivered today, that we can have a deeper revelation in this area. So we thank you for your blood. In Jesus' name.